Welcome, Diane.
Thank you, Elaine. It's good to be here.
All right. In reading your biography, I know you studied poli-sci at Wellesley, transferred to Stanford, graduated from there with a double major in art history and political science. Then you went on to receive an MA in art history from Johns Hopkins. So, the obvious question, why is Goldie a caterer and not a politician or an art historian?
Well, it's interesting because most art historians love food. And what you find when you scratch a food writer is someone who has studied art or art history. And the explanation that I have heard is that art historians go over to Europe, start to work in the museums or the libraries, and then go to some lovely French cafe and look down at all this beautiful food in front of them and say, why am I spending my time in the museum? And so that's where Goldie came from, I think, is the same sensibility.
Okay, so you love to cook? Have you ever...
Yes, I do love to cook, although when my husband and I got married, the night before we got married, I was crying my eyes out saying, I can't marry you, and he said, why not? I said, I can't cook. But I did learn to cook. I watched Julia Child. She was it back in the late 60s and early 70s. There's no Food Network, Food TV. And it was wonderful. And I mentioned her so often in my early books. She wrote to me before she died thanking me, which meant a great deal to me.
Wow.
But,
so it
my husband was very appreciative of all of my efforts. And when we were first married, I got a book called The I Hate to Cook Book.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was making casseroles with canned soup, and you put it in the oven at 350 for an hour. And when we finally bought a steak, because we were in Houston when we were first married, I did what you did with everything else. I put it in the oven at 350 for an hour.
Oh.
And so, but my husband ate every bite. So I learned along the way. And then when we were at Stanford, actually, we lived right down the street from Lane Publishing, which put out the Sunset Cookbooks. And I would cook for relaxation because it was fun. And so I worked my way through their cookbooks, and then I would call their test kitchens whenever I had a problem. And they were wonderful. So that gave me the confidence to learn to become a cook.
So the backtracking a moment, the movie might have been Goldie and Julia instead of Julie and Julia.
Well, I really enjoyed watching Julia Child's shows because that was not the way my mother cooked. And because my mother was, you know, rice-a-roni and shake-and-bake chicken and that kind of, she didn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
And there was one time when she was seeing me chopping 7 different ingredients in our kitchen here, and she looked at me in puzzlement and said, you enjoy this. Yes, I do.
All right. Well, one last kind of off the track question. So Hillary Clinton lived across the hall from you at the dorm at Wellesley.
Yes.
Any stories from those days?
Well, for one thing, she was extremely nice and a hard worker, a good model. She's a bit older than I am. And she actually drafted me into the, wait for it now, the Young Republicans. I'm now a Democrat, and of course, she switched over to the Democratic Party. But I don't talk about politics.
No.
Anyway, so she drafted me into the Young Republicans, and then I was on the Student Senate, and I actually took the same law class that Hillary did that was required of poli-sci majors, and I just thought she was great.
Mm. Okay, now on to the books. Your books have amazing titles like Dying for Chocolate, The Last Supper, Sticks and Scones. How do you come up with all these?
Well, sometimes a title comes to me early on, like Prime Cut. I just knew right away that I wanted to use that as a title. But, you know, you can't copyright titles, but you do need to find out if a title has been used before. And for a mystery. So, and I thought Prime Cut was going to be about cattle rustling, and then I actually spent a day with the brand inspector, they're called, out at a ranch, and I said, I can't write about this. And then found out that in modeling, many of the same metaphors are used, such as a cattle call for an audition and so on. So I kept the title Prime Cut. Now, Killer Pancake one of our children came up with, which is about pancake makeup plus pancakes themselves. So, and no one had used the serial murders, which I simply couldn't believe when I used that one. So, it just, sometimes it'll come to me early on, sometimes late.
Mm, and your books are sprinkled with wonderful recipes. Do you create them all?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
And test them on the family and the neighbors and, you know, the FedEx man, anyone who will taste the cookies and say, yes, this works, no, this didn't work.
Ah. Well, your main character, Goldie, whom I love, has really evolved over the books, going from a divorced mom to marriage. So what's next for Goldie?
Well, what's next for Goldie is that I really enjoyed writing about Arch and the fencing team, because my husband was a fencer as an undergraduate at the Naval Academy. And I would go to his meets and watch him. And so, and I really enjoy writing about teenage boys, because we had three boys. We have three boys, and, you know, they all went through those teenage years, which stay etched on your memory. And so I'm writing about Goldie in this book, Arch is Turning, the next book. The Whole Enchilada is the title at this point. And I just bought a tortilla press, so I'm going to be putting in some Tex-Mex type recipes. And Goldie will be looking into some unusual things and very deadly things happening to a group of women who were first introduced in Catering to Nobody, called Amour Anonymous, for women who love too much. And they were a support group. And then one of their members dies suddenly, and it looks as if it's just from a heart problem, but it's not. Mm-hmm. And so someone is trying to get rid of the remaining members of Amour Anonymous because they harbor a secret. Mm-hmm. Problem is, Goldie and Marla, her best friend, they don't know what the secret is.
Mm.
And so they have to go delving into some of these old notebooks and their memories and looking at the lives of these women to figure out what's going on.
Well, Goldie is such a rich and vivid character. Have you been approached for a TV series or maybe even movie?
Oh, well, this sounds very highfalutin, but I do have a Hollywood agent.
Okay.
But what that means is that people will look at your books and think about them. It's odd with Hollywood, at least it's odd to me, that when they buy your book or books, they buy the rights to the characters and to do whatever they want with the characters. And so far, when I've been approached, I've said no. I don't want to sell my characters.
Yeah.
And so that's been the end of any potential deal. But perhaps something will come along.
Oh. Barbara Rosenblatt who's been a guest on my show, performs many of your audio titles.
I know, she's fabulous.
She is fabulous. How involved are you with the recordings? Because your books are such a pleasure and so much fun to listen to.
Oh, I'm so glad you like them. I get fan mail for Barbara Rosenblatt. and I have met her. I met her down in Denver one time. I always request her. I think she's fabulous.
Yeah.
But I don't listen to my own audios.
You don't? Huh.
No, because I have the voice of Goldie in my head. I tried, but I just thought, no, I can't do this.
Yeah. Hmm. Interesting. And my last question is, are you thinking to come out with a totally new character in a totally new series?
Not yet. I tried once, and with a character named Grace, who lives over in Boulder, an older woman, and my editor just loved her. So I tried to write a story from Grace's perspective, and it just wasn't there yet. But this often happens, and with writing, is that you start on something and it's not quite there yet, so you have to wait for it to blossom in your subconscious, and then you can write about it. But I did get a cookbook deal, and so I'll be working on the whole the cookbook, and then we'll see.
Oh, okay. Last question. For those who aren't really familiar with your titles, Do you have a favorite that you would send people to listen to first?
To listen to?
Yeah. Or read.
Well, a lot of people, the first book in the series is Catering to Nobody, and I do believe that Barbara Rosenblatt has done a version of that.
Yes.
A lot of people start with Dying for Chocolate, and because it introduces all the characters who run through all the books, and that's the second book in the series. So I would say either one of those to start with would be great.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Diane. I love
thank
your
you.
Books, and I'm always ready for the next one. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, Elaine, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
All righty. Bye.
Bye.